Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello and welcome to Maths Hysteria, a podcast all about Married at First Sight with me, Omar Abid. And today I'm joined by Nation Sweetheart. I'll go with Nation Sweetheart. one of the most popular members of the cast from this year. Shanita, hello.
Woo, hey.
Yeah, are you happy with Nation Sweetheart or is that too much?
No, well, yeah, you said it, so I'll take it.
I think last time I heard that was Cheryl Cole, so.
Well, I feel privileged then.
So we're recording this after the final vows. What I tend to start with these interviews is, you mentioned it just before off air, that like obviously it's all been a few months since it was all recorded and everything happened. What's it been like watching the whole series back?
Watching our series back, it's mental because you've already lived it, then you have a gap, and then you're watching it back. So it's like rewatching a period of, you know, of time. And oh my god, sorry, rewatching one period of time of your life, and it brings so many different emotions. Like sometimes when I watch it, if I'm upset or something's happened, it's like I absorb them feelings through the TV, if that makes sense. And I think, well, one, it could be cringy to watch yourself. Like literally, I'm like, oh, I pulled that many facial expressions. Oh gosh, I didn't realize how expressive I was with my face. There's times where there's angles and you think, oh, I could have changed the angle. Like that is not a good look. And then in addition to that, you have, you know, we've filmed for hours and hours, and you know, them dinner parties go on for hours. So then you just see a little snippet of the bigger picture, so that's always interesting as well, because you have to think, oh yeah, this happened, that happened. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a very surreal experience
with all that footage, because this is a common theme that comes up when I talk to any of the cast, is just how much footage there is. And then things have to get cut down for whatever reason. And then things have to get cut down because storylines. Then you need to find some stories. Are you generally happy with how you were portrayed?
Yeah. You know, I was very much myself on and off camera. And from the response of people, you know, watching, that's been positive. It's shown that I've actually got, you know, what I wanted people to see of me. Don't get me wrong, I've got my flaws and we can see that and I'm very open about it. There's times where I wish that there was more context given, you know, so like when I may have said something, but the rest of my conversation or what I've said hasn't been shown. That's the only times where I wish, like, oh, I wish they could see everything, because it's like the Matt and Whitney thing. Yeah, wasn't happy how they went about it. And obviously I stuck up for Gemma. But I had also said, you know, about Matt and Whitney, like, if that's your decision, that's your decision. And, you know, it was nice to see Whitney happy. And actually spoke about it very fairly on both sides. But it only showed my facial expressions. Sorry. Only showed my facial expressions and then looking like I'm, well, as people wanted to tell me that I looked jealous. So.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, I've had a few people message me to tell me that I was jealous. Right. So, okay, if that's what you feel, then that's fine. Not correct, but okay.
Yeah.
Well,
that was the other thing I tend to start with as well, is how has your social media response been? Because just from our little platform that we have, we get a little slice of it, and generally everything about you is positive, but there's always the odd one, like, to the point where it's, how are you even seeing that, like something like that, where you think Shanita's jealous, or you think badly of not even you, like, you know, there'll be a comment about, and it's one in a thousand about Jordan. It's like, there's nothing to not really like about Jordan. He's like, you know, as far as I can see, like, if anything, the problem early on was, I thought it was going so well for you that maybe you'd come across as a bit boring, and there wouldn't be much to show, you know, because they always want those storylines. So what's the social media response been like for you?
You know what? It's been mind-blowing in terms of the love, the support, the kind words that I get, like people going out their way to send such nice positive messages to me. It's honestly, I can't even put into words how much it's meant. I'm very taken back by it because I just didn't expect, you know, I don't know, so many people to just, be so nice and kind of go out their way. Don't get me wrong, like you say, I have had comments, you know. And at first that was difficult, because when you know that you're just being yourself, someone critiquing that, it feels personal, because you know, that's just me, and I am someone that wears my heart on my sleeve. I am very honest and open. So when people are saying that I'm sly, or, you know, saying quite horrible things about me, it did hurt at first, and I'm like, but that's not me. Like, why can't you see that's not me? And, you know, you just have to learn to push it off, because it's like I said earlier on the radio, you will see, say, hundreds of nice comments, and then you might see one, but it's the one that kind of sticks in your head sometimes, because you think, oh, people think this of me, and it kind of, you know what it's like, gets in your mind and it's working. And but you have to really have resilience to it, which I think I'm building, and you just have to brush it off, and really and truly I've got to focus actually on the people that are supportive, nice, kind. Like, I'm not a person that really likes to have negativity in my life, so I was like that before maths, so I just need to continue that after maths, so to speak. It's been amazing. If I could literally hug every single person, I would, because I just can't. I feel like when I put it into words, it doesn't show how grateful I actually am.
I think that's a nice sentiment. I think after you hugged the first 400, you'd realize
my arms are hurting.
There are a good proportion of people who need to shower more, I think.
Yeah, I didn't think about that, actually.
Yes, I appreciate your support. Thank you for the kind words. I'm going to keep a respectful distance.
Yeah, maybe air hugs then. Air hugs.
So another thing I always tend to ask is, what led you to go onto the show? Because I'm always curious, especially when someone in the younger end of the bracket tends to go on, because I think you've got loads of normal dating that you can still, it's available to you.
So I was in a relationship for 10 years. We'd never split up in that time. And obviously we just naturally kind of grew apart slightly. And although I loved him as a person, I wasn't in love anymore. So I ended the relationship. So coming out of that, I had a lot of work to do on my own in terms of, you know, growth, because I'd become we'd become too codependent, if that makes sense. It was unhealthy and I kind of lost myself. So I had to learn who I was again. And then I stepped into the dating world, and dating apps were all new to me because I'd been in a relationship for so long. I'd never been on them. So that was definitely a new experience. You know, some of the messages you receive, and it was like, it was just like a catalogue of men.
Yeah. Argos.
Like literally just all these men. And you just, you know, sift through. And yeah, I just wasn't having much luck. I'd get guys that are just only into one thing. Or I'd get like shelved. I don't know if you know about that, like where they kind of just put you on the shelf and then they go around everywhere else and then realize that actually, you know, you're pretty all right. And then they take you back off the shelf.
Oh, dear.
So I was, and I had my first experience of ghosting. So it was all very disappointing, really. And then my friend was like, you should go on this. I think Mass had been advertising. She's like, you should go on this. And I was like, no. And then one day, I don't know, one evening, I just thought, you know what? Why not? And did my little audition video. And then, yeah, they contacted me the next day and I did just never think they would contact me. But I think the reason I did do it in the end, I thought, why not? Like, I'm not very good at this, clearly I'm not finding the right people, so why don't I give these experts, you know, they look at Adam and Taya, like, you know, there's proof to their to the science and all of that. So yeah, I thought I'll give someone else a go, and I've always been interested in social experiments, so that's something that I've always had a massive interest in, so there was that side as well. So yeah, I just thought someone else can do the hard work.
I think we were invited to the launch event a few weeks before the series aired on TV, and we got to watch the first episode. So we saw your wedding with Jordan, and here's your dog. I was going to say, for the listeners, I'm sure you've already worked out Janita's crazy Pomeranian dog is also part of the interview.
And the thing is, if I lock him out, it'd be worse, because I tell you now, there'd be a hole in the door and I'm not even over-exaggerating.
No, honestly, this will probably be the clip that I use, because people are just always much more interested in the dogs. So
mine's crazy.
So I was going to say that we saw that first episode. And then I'm always trying to think, like, what would be a good little image to use, or what's going to be a meme or things like that. And as soon as I saw you telling your mum, her face was priceless.
Yeah. Oh, bless her. God. Well, you can see where I get my facial expressions from now, can't you?
Yeah, definitely. It was so nice, though, because I think what they do tend to do in that first episode from previous series is they'll put a couple who you're kind of rooting for, and then a couple where there's a villain. And it was obviously Whitney was the villain in that first episode. But what was it like telling your mum? Because then obviously she was so supportive, and that was where it's like for a face from going like looking like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah. You know what, bless her. My mum is very supportive of me, like, you know, no matter what I do. It's funny because people are always like, oh, they must have known. But I told my mum I'd applied to a dating show. So she didn't know the extent of what actually I was about to do. She was shocked. My mum's quite emotional. As she's got older, she's got more emotional, I swear. So she had a bit of a cry as well. But what didn't make the cut actually is when she said, she went, "Oh, why couldn't you have just applied to Bake Off or something?" She said that, or come dine with me. And I was like, well, you know.
Who do you want me to go out with? Paul Hollywood?
Come dine with me, might meet someone, you know. The off chance they make a good steak or something. But yeah, she was supportive. She was a bit in shock. And then with my mom, she's such a little worrier, honestly. So then she would have gone into like protective worry mode, because then she's like, oh, who's going to be at the end of the aisle?
Yeah, of course.
So very supportive, but she was very just, bless her, worried about me as well, because she just obviously wants the best for me. And obviously we've watched math, so I could have had a very different experience.
Yeah, of course. So that wedding day, though, and going into the honeymoon as well, that must have been pretty overwhelming, because you mentioned Adam and Taya, and it seemed like a similar kind of trajectory where just straight away you and Jordan kind of clicked, and it was like, there were quite cute moments of you seeming quite giddy on the honeymoon.
Oh, dear. Yeah. That's when I really cringed. I don't know if anyone's died of cringing before, but I tell you now, I was close. So close. When I walked down the aisle, met Jordan, I instantly felt comfortable and I felt like good. Because that morning I was weirdly calm, and until I got to the point where it was about to walk down, that's when the nerves hit me like a ton of bricks. And when I met him, it was just, he was comfortable. We had a laugh. We was both really nervous. And we just ran with it. And it was like we just bounced off each other, and that was nice. And then with the, and obviously the wedding night, you see us eating the cake in the bed.
Yeah.
And we just had so much fun. And I bought him these little socks as a wedding gift, and that. So I was like, here. So we just had a lovely day, lovely evening. And then the next day, obviously, we get told where we're going on the honeymoon. And we was on a flight for like 12 hours. So
wow.
That's, sat next to someone that you've just met on a flight, 12 hours, you can't go nowhere. That's a great way to start to get to know somebody. It just felt natural, and it just flowed. And people that attended our wedding actually said that they felt that the wedding had been planned for ages and they'd gone to it. That's how good it was. Everyone kind of gelled well. There was laughs, I was tears. I was very fortunate, definitely.
Well, just to go back to your mum actually for a second, because you mentioned the tears. She actually did a very rare thing in maths history of doing a poem that was actually decent and not cringy.
No, it was so, so good, that was, honestly. And it kind of edited it out. I mean, that's why I put on one of my pictures, I think, of me and her, I posted the whole thing, because I was so proud of her. She is really good at poems and stuff like that. She's very creative. So to hear it, and it's funny, before that she was like, "Oh, I've got a speech, but it's only a couple lines and it's not very good," and getting worried nervous. She gets really nervous. So then when I heard it, and I just heard how much it come from a heart and how amazing it was, because it was a pretty sick poem / speech. It touched me, and it meant the world. And to see everyone else's reaction to it just even more solidified how good it was and how heartwarming it was.
Definitely. Anytime I hear the first rhyming couplet, I think, oh God, don't do it. And then it was like, oh my God, this is quite moving. You compare it to something like where Richie's song for
Yeah. Laura could have done with my mum in that moment.
Yeah. So then honeymoon's all going well. Then you come back and it's dinner parties, commitment ceremonies.
Yeah.
What's that like being like meet? I know you'll have met the girls on the hen night and everything, but meeting everyone and first dinner party.
It was quite overwhelming actually, because you come from your honeymoon, you're in your couple bubble, and then with that week, you're then moving into the apartments. That is a big step in itself, because then you're again enclosed in a small space, so to speak, and you're getting to, you know someone living with them. And my mum had always told me, you don't know someone till you live with them. So we was entering that, and then it's going into the dinner party with all the other couples. And although, yeah, we met, obviously, the stags and the hens, you didn't really get to know them as much, if that makes sense. So, you again, it's like you're really getting to know everyone and their partners who you've never met. And, yeah, it's a lot, because there were so many. I remember thinking, everyone is like such a big character. And yeah. I thought, I'm just little me. And like, wow, what are the next few weeks going to be like? So then you're dealing with, obviously, you and your husband, and, you know, building your relationship, to then building relationships with everyone else. Mm-hmm. Who's going through the same experience. So, yeah, it's a lot to take in.
Yeah. Who did you instantly kind of bond with in the group?
It's funny, because it kind of changed, like, instantly. Well, it was definitely, like, Adrian. As soon as he sat, like, down, as soon as he sat next to me, we just clicked straight away. And then Zoe, it's funny because I'm so close to Zoe now, but that first dinner party, I remember leaving thinking, I don't think she likes me. I don't know why, I just felt she didn't like me. So that's funny now how things have turned out. To be honest, I got on with everyone. Like, I made so much effort with everyone, because that is what I'm like. I'm, you know, you can see I'm chatty. I'll give anyone the time of day. So I relatively felt like I was just getting on with loads of people. Like, Lara got on well with Jess, like April at that time, like everything, everyone, like Whitney, like everyone, I just felt I had a good relationship. Keisha, I'd seen, because she was in our apartment before, sorry, our hotel before the dinner party. So it was nice. And that was obviously the first time we were all together where it was all nice, wholesome. Mm.
And then, yeah, then things started to unravel. So, so this is it. You all meet each other. You're all staying in the apartments. And I've seen on social media, and this is kind of what you'd imagine would happen, is you're sort of in the same big bubble together, and you're all hanging out, nights out in each other's apartments and things like this. So who was bitching about you in the bathroom?
God, Emma, that is a question that we still don't bloody know, do we?
Really?
Honestly, you know what? It's funny, because that story has been warped and changed and all sorts. Now I know the story, and, you know, I'll say it for you. Was at the apartment, was at April's, having a drink. We were just, it was Tom, Keisha, I don't know when it was that, and me, and then George and Adrian had gone to the shop at this point. So we were just chatting, and I remember Tom and April was talking about our boxers. So they're the little one-to-one conversations you have. So we were talking about boxers, and I am very open and honest. And I'd said to April, because Tom had asked me something about if I'd said something on a Vox, and I was like, no, but I did feel this. Because I'll never, if I feel something, I'm not, don't get me wrong, I would never say it in a nasty way, but I will tell you how I'm feeling, you know. So with April, I'd said, like, I felt like at the couch. Sorry, he hates next door's couch. So I felt like on the couch, you kind of hid behind the hot tub thing, and you hadn't explained other stuff that, you know, has been discussed off camera between you and George. And then they, then all of a sudden, April and Tom went to the toilet. Then now I'm thinking like, oh, have I upset us? And I actually got upset because I thought, oh, I'm not here to upset anyone. I don't want that. And there was some comments made, by them that, you couldn't really trust people and this, that, and the other. So then I started to feel very overwhelmed by the process and just being on camera, the whole thing. So I got quite upset about it. And then, they've come out the toilet. April and Tom seen that I'm upset. And I'm just like, look, I'm not here to upset anyone. I'm sorry if I've been naive to this. And there was nothing more to it. I think Tom then said to Adrian, oh, she is a bit upset, So I went and spoke with Adrian for a bit. So from that, I just didn't feel comfortable there because I just thought, I'm not here to upset anyone. So I left. And then the next day is when I think April had contacted me and tried to see if I wanted to come around for a cup of tea, but I was doing something. And then it come out that this bitching had been happening. And then so April had come to me and said, Tom has been bitching about you. Last night he was saying that you're a snake and that you're this, that, and the other. And I was like, what the hell? Because I'm thinking, I don't even know you people. You don't know me. I am the furthest from a snake, believe me. And then it come out that basically after Tom had been at April's apartment, Jess said Tom had gone to her apartment and said that me and April had been speaking, which wasn't the case. So then at that dinner party, Tom obviously says to Jess, I should have never said Shanita's name because that's not who I meant. It's April. And then April saying, well, Tom bitched about you in the toilet. Then Tom saying to me, no, it was April. And I'm like, what the hell? And then, I said to them, I was like, you are grown-ass adults. Like, if you said something, just own up to it. Like, if they said, you know what, Shanita, I thought this, but I don't actually stand by it, or I do stand by it, then you could just move on, can't you? But it was, it just kept changing. So I said to them at the dinner party, I was like, you know what, this is too much for me. Like, I'm not into drama. I don't have drama in my life. And the worst part is I never said anything. So you guys have lied on me and created drama that I don't want to deal with. So I blamed it on both of them. And right. That was my way of shutting it down. You're both in the wrong. Let's move forward. But as you see, there was no moving forward. And it just got dragged out.
Well, yeah, definitely. I think the way you handled it was really good because, and I think this was actually the first point where we saw more than just the giddy Shanita who was having a good time on honeymoon. Because it was like, I was sort of surprised actually, because we hadn't seen that side of you that, and especially for the dinner party when it's you and Jordan and then Thomas and Adrian come in and it's like just tense. But you actually bring it up and broach it straight away. That was quite funny when he's going, I don't know, does everyone like me?
But this is the thing, and that's why, no one can call me fake because I will bring up a situation. I'm not going to slag you off behind your back. I'll come and speak to you, like, face to face. That's the only way it can get resolved. It doesn't need to be, hostility, aggressiveness. It can just be a conversation. And that's why I did. And I know it's funny watching it back. I was like, oh, Shanita, that sounded a little bit petty. But I just wanted it to come to the forefront because, Tom wasn't saying anything. And I thought, right, we just need to address this. But I think, it's funny you've said that because watching the show, I have seen, the growth in me. I went in there and I was quite quiet. And I think I had to adapt quickly to my environment and who I was surrounded by. And I think at that dinner party where I spoke up, I thought, I can't let these people walk over me, and speaking to my friends and welfare and that, and they're like, stick up for yourself. So from that point, I thought, fuck this. Who's going to have my back? No, I need to have my own back, let's face it. So I made sure I had my own back.
Yeah, no, it's good, definitely. And there's a point where, as well, I expect what you thought was, I'm going to say my piece, that's it, let's move on. But I think there are other people in the cast who cannot let things go, and it just kept coming back. And yeah, there must have been a point where, well, I think we could tell you were just kind of bored of it.
Just thought, you know what it was? It was, because at that point, I was the youngest in there. Me and Jordan were the youngest till Sophie come. And I just thought, you lot are all older than me. What is going on? Like, why can't you just say, if you said, like, what was blowing my mind is that everyone had a complete different story and no one's was really overlapping. You know, usually they say, you know, there's a story, there's three parts to it, you know, her side, his side, and the truth. There was none of that. It was just so, so confusing. And that's why I just thought, yeah, both of you, that's me closing it down.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, it's...
Well, as a viewer, it was so funny because then the following week, then we saw April and Thomas talking and they were like, Jess. why did Jess's name come up? Like, it's handy she's not there anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, and that's why I got dragged into it again, because I was like, the story's changing. Why is the story changing? Jess isn't here. Why was this not brought up last week when Jess was here? And I think, you know, what part of the issue was, is at the first dinner party, April wasn't there. Because she was ill. So with that, I did wonder, I thought, if April had been at that dinner party, would things have been different? Because then all four of us are in that dinner party. We can discuss it and, you know. Obviously we'll never know, but Jess then got dragged into it, and then I think Jess then thought it was all about her in terms of, you know, what had been happening and being said. So it just became literally this massive, this one little thing snowballing, and I was just like, yeah, I don't need this, like, I don't do drama.
Well, I'm going to bring things back to you and Jordan, and probably the first little stumbling block was maybe the second commitment ceremony where you'd said that about the ADHD.
I
don't want to say from the off, and I think it's something that doesn't kind of get mentioned enough in these kind of situations, you apologized in the moment, and then on when you brought up on the commitment ceremony, you apologized then as well. But it is something that's brought up quite a big discussion around it. And I still don't know where I stand on it, you know. Or and Kelly and I have discussed it. It's like, yeah, we're not. It's a tricky one. So what can you talk us through that?
So basically, how it looked on TV was a lot worse. You know, doing the job that I do, I've worked with, you know, a lot of children and families who are diagnosed with ADHD. I've had to assess a lot of children with ADHD and look at, you know, what ADHD is, how it impacts on their day-to-day life, and, you know, how, you know, support that they would need. So I'm used to just openly speaking about things, which obviously from that I learn, obviously I need to be mindful that some people will be sensitive to certain discussions. But what I would like to say is, when I spoke to Jordan about it, one, it was never said like in anger, or there was no malice, anything like that. It was just literally a chat. And I said, a few things that you do, you know, they've made me think like about ADHD. And at the time, he wasn't upset about it. So at that time, I didn't realize how, like, that I'd hurt him, if that makes sense. Just having a chat response. He'd even said, which I'd said on the couch, he'd even told his mom about the conversation, apparently, that they like had a bit of a laugh about it. And he'd said, oh, my mom said that before. So I didn't know the hurt that I'd caused. And if I knew right in that moment that I'd caused any hurt, obviously I would have said there and then. Anyway, when we obviously have that bad week, Jordan left me for 2 days. We'd had a fallout after the dinner party because there was a lot of drama, and we both said we'd watch kind of what we'd drink, because I didn't know who was going to say what and the dynamics. And Jordan didn't, which you saw, and he said on his Instagram, you know, I was very drunk at that dinner party. So I was a bit upset, and I was struggling that week. Like, I was low, and I was finding it difficult. Like, the pressure of the experiment was really getting to me. So, you know, people are like, oh, she looks snappy. Well, no, I'm just not in a good place that week. And we all have highs and lows. And I'll hold my hands up to that. And it's like with the, sorry, I'm digressing, but with the cards, when I say concentrate, that's because he'd read it wrong 3-4 times prior.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So, and it wasn't just me that said it, other people did. But anyway, so that that night led to us having a bit of a fallout. And he stormed out and left me for 2 days in the apartment. And I think within that 2 days, he's reflected, he's thought about stuff. And, you know, he's thought about how, you know, what I said about the ADHD thing has upset him. So then when we'd reunited, he'd said, and I literally, I couldn't apologise any more to him, because that obviously is not what I intend to do, hurt anybody. And for me, with ADHD, I'm not someone that sees, obviously I know the stigma around it, but I don't see the stigma around it. I don't think it's something that should be looked at negatively at all. So when he'd said that he was upset, I'd said, oh, that's not my intention. I explained and I, you know, apologised profusely for it. So when we got to the couch, it was myself that brought it up. I will always hold my hands up and take accountability for my actions, right or wrong. And it was myself that brought it to the couch. And I said, look, as you saw. And I think you can see when you watch that episode how broken I am. Like, I'm a very empathetic person. So to know I'd hurt him, it was really eating me up. So I told the experts what I'd said. And from that, you know, they'd spoke to me about it, said, yeah, you probably shouldn't have said it. But what was difficult on that couch is Jordan actually blindsided me, because he'd said a lot of things that he hadn't spoken to me about before. So I had to deal with that also. And I was like, but you've never said this to me. You've never, you know, expressed this. And that was then hurtful, because I thought, whoa, what's going on? And I think it was difficult with that episode, because it was like they only showed me saying the ADHD thing, and it was very much zoned in on me and like, oh, Shanita's downfalls. And it didn't show the wider picture of both the issues we were having. And that was really difficult for me to rewatch. I'll be honest, it actually did make me feel really low, because it was like I was reliving it again. And then, you know, but this time I'm reliving it with the nation watching and people having their critique. And
And then especially if you say that the other issues, which you were kind of, you were surprised that were brought up. Because when you said that, I was trying to think back. I was like, what were the other issues? I don't, because it was so much about.
Yeah, literally. There was nothing. It was just me, you know, what I'd done. Nothing on Jordan, and it was a bit imbalanced. And then obviously I'd poured my heart out, because it's not just the experts you're speaking to, you have the others as well. Poured my heart out, was honest, and then obviously to go to sit back down and then Kwame company. That I just thought, could you kick me any more down? Like, you know, I've just poured my heart out. Jordan's just bloody thrown me under the bus and like made me hurt more. And then I'm giving you guys all my vulnerabilities. But, you know, as I sit down, you come for me as well, because that is just what I need right now. Thank you.
Well, I actually spoke to Kwame yesterday. So people should have hopefully heard that episode by now. And I talked to him about this. And he said, in his mind, he was trying to, because he said he was like kind of the dad of the group. In case you were like the mum and dad of the group. And that you and Jordan especially would spend a lot of time in their apartment, and he and Jordan are very close. So his explanation was, And I'm not trying to throw him under the bus and get talk shit. But he was saying that, like, he meant it as a bit of a joke to try and lighten the mood, like, don't try and diagnose him and expecting you to go, oh yeah, God, Kwame, all right, you know. But they took a particular, I don't know, that he said that maybe the way that was portrayed made it sound, you know, more that it wasn't as jokey as he'd intended it.
No, certainly not. I mean, you're seeing, it was the way he said it. You know, I felt that if he was joking and knowing Kwame, he'd be like, oh, Shan, da 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 da. But it was very much, don't do this, don't do that again. And I'll be honest, them 2 days when Jordan weren't speaking to me, he'd been with Kwame. And I'll say it to Kwame, I felt that did amplify things. I felt maybe that, you know, things had been said behind my back that fueled stuff and escalated things that didn't need to be escalated. So then when, I've gone sit down and he said that, you get a vibe when you know somebody's joking or not. Yeah, I did not have a joke vibe. And if that was the case, if he was joking, he would have said in the moment, I was joking. He never said that. And actually parts of it's cut because I think he felt that, he did say that. He felt that the experts had been too nice to me about it. So he wasn't joking. Because you wouldn't think that.
Again, not to throw him under the bus or anything, because I really enjoyed my chat with him, but he did say that yesterday, and it's there on the podcast that he felt like the experts had said they'd gone into it, but he didn't feel that it was in depth enough.
They had, and also I think with the experts, they understood my background. They understood that I didn't say anything with malice. They seen that I was upset, and I told the experts the stuff that Jordan was saying was, you know, new to me. So the experts were taking an holistic approach to it. They were looking at it from a bigger picture. Kwame's Jordan's mate, so Kwame's just there for Jordan. Do you know what I mean? The experts were very good about it and very understanding. They told me, okay, maybe you shouldn't have said that. Do you know what I mean? They told me that, and I had that telling off, so to speak, in that respect. But it was balanced. No, I definitely paid the price, and I'm literally breaking down on that sofa. And if that doesn't tell you enough, then actually, what are you seeing, Kwame? Do you know what I mean? And Kwame says that, but he's said and done a lot worse. So if we want to go like that, the fact he said that, it's rubbish. The experts were very fair and understanding. And, you know, like Mel says to Jordan, I'm really feeling for you. And Jordan got the support. Like I said, you didn't see the flip side of things where Jordan did a lot that week also. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That further added to me feeling like crap. And that's why you see me in a different light that week, because I'm at a low. I was struggling that week. And then with Kwame, that week was really, really difficult for me.
Just moving things along on the timeline, I could see a good example of you wanting to try and stay out of any future drama was when you took a bite of cream cake at the retreat. That was one of the perfect screenshots of you with a cake in your mouth, just like, I can't believe he said that.
this is the thing, you do try and stay out of it. Like, I've had people like, oh, you love the drama. It's like, no, actually, I try and stay out, but in them scenarios, it's almost like you can't, because you get sucked in it one way or another, whether you're feeling you need to defend your friend or someone saying something about you, or like, you know, because I did get pulled into that when April's speaking to me, like, and obviously it stemmed back from the toilet. So it is difficult, and you know, people have said about my facial expressions, but at that tea party I was actually very fair. Again, it's so much is it like taken out, and I'd said from Tom's point of view, and I'd said about April's, and you know, Tom had said, like, look, you said that you pretended to be my friend, which I'd had a good discussion about with April about, and said you can't do that to people. Like, if you don't like someone, you just distance yourself from them. Like, just take a step back. You don't have to pretend, because actually that's worse. So there were so many different conversations that I'd had, and I was very open with everyone. It just never ends well, though, does it? And I think it's difficult as well, actually, trying to be fair in that experiment, because as soon as, say, you're friends with someone, has an issue with somebody else, it puts you in the middle, and you're like,
Yeah. Well, what I wanted to ask you about that retreat was, did everyone know about Matt and Whitney, that there was some chemistry there, that there was some a vibe?
I think obviously go to the tea party and the lads. So you got to think, you naturally come back together with your partner and you discuss. So, you know, at that tea party, when Whitney had said that's because earlier I'd seen them pass each other. And, you know, I'm very observant. So I was like, oh. And at the tea party, I said, you know, I thought I caught a vibe. And then instantly apologised to Gemma. Because I thought, sorry, Gemma, like, yeah. I don't want to dismiss you or hurt you. So then after that tea party, obviously me and Jordan have come together and we've just spoke about it. And I've said, like, oh, today, you know, Whitney said Matt. And then he'd be like, Matt said Whitney. So then you're thinking, you're like, oh, okay. So I think the difference is, I think some people were aware, maybe there's a vibe because they both said their names, but I don't think anyone I didn't know the extent of it, and that's the difference, knowing that someone's got a little vibe to actually they're full steam ahead in with this. That was the difference. And by the time that dinner party happened, obviously Matt and Whitney had got closer, they've been chatting, they've been doing all sorts. Obviously we don't see that, and I think viewers forget as well what everyone's watching now, we're just watching it. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot, and I think that's why the dinner party blew up so much, because as the information come out, that's when everyone's like, what, you know? Yeah. And that's why it's blowing up so much. Obviously you've got Gemma, that's pure raw emotion. Duke had a heads up the night before, and I think that's probably why, bless Duke, because I am good friends with him, but I think that's probably why people was more for Gemma, because we felt Duke had a bit of a heads up, so yeah. He wasn't going blind, whereas Gemma, bless her, you know, we're going to a dinner party and she gets served that.
Yeah,
it's mental, so that's why it blows up, and then everyone's like, what, da, 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 da. And I stuck up for Gemma a lot at that time, but I'd also you know, said to Whitney, what you've done, you know, you owe Gemma respect, you shouldn't have gone about it that way, but if this is, you know, if you're truly happy, then I understand why you've done it. So I do always try and see it from both sides. And yeah, it blew up different, and it's mad because what you see is just a snippet of what was utter carnage.
Well, I was going to say that I think, to give Kwame some credit, actually, when I spoke to him, he'd spoken to Whitney and said, you have to go and tell Duca, Matt should go and talk to Gemma. And that's why he said, when he made his comment and sort of brought it up, you know, in front of everyone, it's like, what, why doesn't Gemma know at that point? Matt should have really, really spoken to her, which is, you know, definitely a fair thing.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's why, maybe I said this in the show, but it's, I was more annoyed at Matt than Whitney. I could understand Whitney, and I even said it at the time. I said, you know what, Whitney's actually got a leg to stand on, because she had been trying to leave Duca. Like, she has put leave, you know, she's shown, she's been open about how she's feeling in that respect. I think at the time we felt Matt hadn't made the effort, and me being friends with Gemma, I knew that Gemma had gone to that retreat with an open heart, thinking that the retreat would bring them closer. Mm-hmm. So knowing that, that's why I think I was a lot more angrier at Matt than Whitney.
That was off the back of the, in the same dinner party, Jonathan for the, I don't know, was it the 18th time talking about the horse legs? I'm starting to feel bad for Jonathan. We had a little interaction yesterday on Instagram and I'm like, even I'm starting to feel bad for you, mate. I should stop talking about it.
Oh, but the thing is, do you know what? I feel more for Sophie than Jonathan with the horse legs things, because it's like she's having to keep reliving it. Like she's keep having to hear something that was said about her body, yeah. That's come out of obviously her husband's mouth. So yeah, I do feel for Jonathan in that respect, because you know, he's got a lovely side. He's funny. He is a nice guy. He just sometimes says stuff and you think, what era are you living in? So yeah, it is a difficult one, but the horse legs things keep coming up. My heart goes for Sophie on that.
Yeah, it was a good, I think I put out a meme of, I think it was you, Keisha, Whitney, maybe Zoe, like facial reactions when him and Kwame were doing that, just like men are under equal pressure as women.
Yeah.
Are you guys mad?
Honestly, yeah, that chat is so funny, because again, you only see a snippet of that chat, but we was like, what? And like, you know, it's like when Kwame's like, oh, do you plan on putting on weight? Who plans that in their diary? October 25th, I'll just put 2 stone on. So, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I told Kwame yesterday that he'd triggered my wife quite a few times, and she said hello to him and everything. She was in the house yesterday, and when she'd gone, he said, we got to this point. It's like, was this one of the bits that triggered her? I was like, yeah, definitely. And then when she came back and I'd finished the interview, she was like saying, did you tell him that I can go in one shop and I'm a 10 and go in the one next door and I'm a 14? Does he understand that?
Love that, yes. It is so true. And all sorts can fluctuate your weight. Do you know what I mean? Like stress and like there's so many things that impact people's weight. And also we know as a society that has been an ongoing argument issue for centuries. You know, what society deems as a good body, not a good, like we have to deal with that a lot. And if you're dealing with, you know, eating disorders, with self-confidence, whatever it, health issues, and you've got somebody saying, you know, just blasé comments because they're not going through that. Because you've got to think as well, Kwame and Jonathan, they're gym goers. So they have good bodies. You know, they go to the gym. So it's like, well, actually as well, have you experienced any of this that's being discussed? Yeah, I think they definitely got told by the women at that dinner party.
I wonder, let's go back to you and Jordan then. So I would say through the retreat and everything seemed kind of smooth sailing, but yeah. I guess it's maybe editing as well, that because there was so much drama there, I guess maybe we just assumed that, but everything seemed to be going okay. And then I think the next thing is the dinner party where Jordan's talking about moving in.
We was doing well. I mean, if we wasn't, you'd know about it because we would have been shown more. So yeah, we was in a great, you know, great position. We're still getting to know each other, you know, like a normal relationship. But yeah, we were doing great. We had a great time at the retreat. It brought us closer, and things were going well. And then we had the homestays again, went really well. I got on really well with his mom. I'd actually spoke to his mom about that really bad week with me and Jordan, because again, I was like, look, we had this bad week, explained it to her, and we had a really good discussion about that, because Andrea's lovely. So when we come back from the homestays, again, great. It was the mixer. They didn't show it. So in the mixer, and we'll talk about him. And he was saying to everyone, you know, Shanita's like the missing piece. She feels like a void, like, you know, taking a home that's comfortable. So he was saying all this stuff to everyone in the mixer. Great, you know, love that. And then we got to the dinner, and he'd come out of nowhere with it. So it's not something he'd brought up before. And like I said, I've just walked from the mixer, he's saying all of that. And then as I'm trying to eat some of my beef, I think it was, Oh, ironic. then started getting beefed by my husband. So double serving. Yeah, and that's why I was so taken back. I was like, hey, where's this coming from? And also, I think there was more to that discussion. Also, it was much more like, well, I have not said that I'm just going to turn up at your house with my bags, you know. Yeah. So I was a bit taken back by it because I thought, what's going through his head? Because that's why sometimes we had, you know, difficulties with communication. Because I'm open, speak and say in the moment, Jordan's someone more that will cling on to it and then tell you 3 months down the line. Mm.
Well, you said that was a similar thing with the ADHD thing because you said it was a few days later that you sort of found out how much it had affected him.
Yeah. And that is something that got brought up on the couch because I'm like, in the moment I'm speaking so we can get to learn each other. And that's why he thought I was nitpicking, because in the moment I'd say, oh, I didn't like that you did that to me. Whereas he saves it and then right. explodes. So I wasn't nitpicking. I'm just kind of like communicating to try and just... us learn each other, do you know what I mean? Like, we're completely new. So yeah, at the dinner party, for him to say that, one, I'm thinking, whoa, where's this come from? Two, right now, as I'm scoffing my face, is this the time to be speaking about this? And then, yeah, again, just like, I was thinking, like, you see me on the Vox, what the hell? I was thinking, where's your head at? Like, you've said all this stuff, and now it's like you're backtracking. And that's when... you know, I was concerned because I thought, I'm putting my heart into this. Is this person going to leave me when the experiment finishes? So it was like processing all of that whilst at a dinner party that's kicking off.
You're trying to eat your beef.
Yeah, I was really enjoying it as well, but then the appetite's now quickly gone. So yeah, it was a lot to process, and I think some people watching it were like, well, he's not saying anything wrong. And no, he wasn't. Like I said to him, I was like, if that's how you feel, that's okay, but it's about communicating that with me. And also, you're jumping the gun. I haven't said that I'm going to move in with you straight away. I'm not with my bags packed. And I suppose I had to think, did the home stay scaring? Like,
right,
be in his house, you know, because I'm starting to now reflect on everything. I'm probably overthinking as well, and just trying to put together the pieces to understand why Jordan would be approaching this at that time. So I was definitely not waiting for that.
It was quite near the end of the whole process as well, so it was, I can understand, it sort of seemed like, I think I said, it was kind of like Zoe and Jenna, where things had actually, on the whole, seemed to go quite well. So actually being in the process maybe wasn't doing you any favours anymore. And maybe if you had just been out in your own sort of lives and maybe having a long distance relationship at that point, you might not have suddenly been rushing to like, oh my God, Shanita's going to move in the day this finishes, you know.
Yeah.
When you did separate for before the final vows, how long's that process? I've wondered, like, how long does that take?
So that is a week. So you move out the apartment, I saw like that, I was really emotional. I think there was just so much going through my head. Now we're moving out, missing everyone, Jordan. I'm used to waking up every day with him and, you know, have him by my side. And then it's like, well, this is the time as well. He can go and he can run. and I was a bit worried. I think that's why I was so emotional leaving, and because, you know, like he'd said in the show before, he'd lived with someone, 3-4 years, and he didn't love them.
Which, and then to me, I was talking about this with my wife, like, how's that happened?
Then it's that does ring alarm bells. And that's why I'm like, oh crap. And he didn't show it. And in my deliberations with my mate Vanessa, we discussed that. And I'm like, it's a red flag. And then you know, she's like, well, that's a previous relationship, like this is a new one, maybe he's learned from that. And that's why I say an amber flag when I'm about to go, because I reckon people are like, amber flag, but that's why I just didn't see the conversation before that. So I was like, it's a red flag, but I've come to amber. Because, you know, actually she's raised a valid point, and you can't you know, I'm not a comparer. You can't compare your previous relationship to this one, you know. So that's why I went Amber. But yeah, it's a lot to process.
Yeah, it just seems strange. You know, everybody's life circumstances are different and everything. And it was, I was almost trying to defend to my wife, like, how that might have happened on Jordan's behalf. Because, like, who knows what, you know, how they ended up down that road. But I was just, like, generally, you'd think, you want to love someone before you end up having to live with them, because otherwise it's just going to be a nightmare, isn't it?
Well, there is this. And also, how do you go that long in a relationship without them feelings happening? And, you know, I will say this, because I don't know if she's watched. I did feel for her, if she has watched, to have to listen to that, because that must have been really hard. Because I'm, you know, watching my own relationship play on telly, and it's hard at times. So I can only imagine it must not have been nice for her to hear that. So even that, it's not even my issue, and even I've been reflecting on it and feeling, you know, some type of way. But yeah, I did. I was worried by that, and that was my concern, because, like you said, we did amazing in that experiment, and, you know, we actually got told by the experts we were like the top students. So just we really took on what they were saying and try and implement it. And we always put efforts in if there's any tasks or anything, like, we'd give it our all. So I'm thinking, is this what he did with his ex? You know, did she feel like I'm feeling? And I couldn't help but think that because of the stuff he'd been saying to me. So yeah, final vows, having that distance, it's very thought-provoking and nerve-wracking, because you don't know, you know, could turn up at that final vows and he's like, yeah, bye, see ya.
Well,
you just don't know.
Speaking as a viewer from watching it last night, the programme started Jonathan and Sophie. It was like, oh, that I wasn't expecting them, because the way it had been built up, I thought, like, Jonathan was going to say no. And it's like, okay, that's nice, I guess. We'll see. You know. Yeah. And then Matt and Whitney, and it was suddenly just like, ugh. And then to end with you and Jordan, it was real, like, uplifting kind of ending. So it was really great to watch.
It was lovely to watch in terms of, like, seeing it again. It's funny, again, you put yourself in that moment. I remember all the feelings that I had and how nervous I was to see him again, because I just didn't know, and how happy I was to see him again. That was absolutely lovely. I mean, the one point that I did probably struggle with was hearing his deliberations, because I felt like in my deliberation, you know, I'd said nice stuff about him. I'd probably trashed myself and said, you know, I'm a bit bossy because I'm very independent. And then just said about, you know, a few things that I'd felt in terms of, like, my feelings not being validated and that. And then it went to Jordan's and I was like, oh, okay. Like, I mean.
So what were the things that you weren't expecting to hear there that bothered you a little?
Just like him saying that he was a shell of himself, that yeah, I was like, what? And I felt when he was speaking about me, it was all very negative, and there was no accountability for any of his actions. And the way he said, oh, I compromised for her happiness, and that was not nice to hear, because I thought, that's not what you've been telling me, and that's not what we've been living, so to speak. I know we had issues at times in our communication, and, you know, I'd explained that compromise has to be from both of us. So we were both compromising. I felt like the way he said it was very one-sided, and that I don't know, when I heard it, I just didn't feel very nice hearing it. So yeah, that wasn't nice. And then, bless his mom, I thought, oh, at least someone said something positive about me. thanks Andrea. Like, yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, because we watch these deliberations and then, but it's down the line, and then you're like, oh
yeah,
is that what you really thought? Like,
yeah
okay. Was a hard watch.
So we've just got the reunion dinner party and the reunion commitment ceremony to come. What can we expect?
well, I don't think you're going to see exactly, you know, all of what happened, because it's only a snippet. I tell you now, that dinner party, honestly, it was mental.
Really?
Absolutely mental, yeah.
Worse than what we've seen on the retreat and things?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think if I'm right, it's on at 8 o'clock on Monday. So it's before the watershed. So a lot probably won't get shown because it's before nine. But yeah, it blew the retreat one out of the park for sure. Like, wow. Even worse than like Australia's that we've seen, it was, we all left it and was like, what the hell did we just sit in? Like,
wow.
Yeah. So I don't know, given the fact that the times changed, I don't know, you know, probably going to be more family friendly. But I'm sure if you ask anyone at the cast about that dinner party, they'll be like, yeah, it was mental.
Well, a family friendly ending might be nice, because I feel like I need a detox after watching
it. Well, you're probably right, to be honest. It would be nice to end on a more of a high, because we look crazy. Like, I watched this show with everyone else and I'm like, we look crazy. And then, you know what's funny, when they're like, if you want to go Married at First Sight, apply here. Right after, the most hopeless thing. And I think, yeah, that really helped sell that, didn't it? Don't get me wrong, I recommend anyone, if you've seen the show and it's something that you think, yeah, I'll put myself out there for, I definitely recommend it. It's once in a lifetime experience, and you know, you just don't know what the ending could be. So I definitely recommend anyone who's thinking of applying to apply.
That's nice that you've no regrets about it. But I mean, considering how well it's gone for you, I'm not surprised. I mean, I think the big thing you've kind of learned is just how expressive your face is, which has been, I know we've mentioned it a few times, but it's always been good for me for if there's loads of drama going on or anything like that, I'm just like, where's Shanita? There we go.
Oh yeah, you don't even have to look for me because the camera makes sure and shows my full face in the middle of the screen. You know, God forbid anybody else is pulling faces. And it's just like, yep, Shanita, bam.
But it's good. It's always a nice, you know, when there's been this toxicity and stuff like this, it's always nice to throw in a picture of you eating a cake and looking.
Why does drama always start when I'm just trying to enjoy my food? Like, food is life. But you know what? It has been nice in the fact that, don't get me wrong, not everyone appreciates my facial expressions and they've made me aware of that. But actually, I'd say 98%, the rest of the feedback from people has been, you know, your face said exactly what I was thinking, or a lot of people have, you know, related to me, and they're like, oh my God, I'm the same, like my face doesn't hide anything. And I've seen a lot of people say, oh, Shanita can't play poker. So I'll stay clear of that. And I think that's why, when there's been people that have said, oh, you know, I think she's sly, and I'm like, how can you, like, I literally tell you everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Even without my face.
Yeah, without words, you tell us everything. Definitely one of our biggest tweets was when Matt and Whitney, I'd written, when Matt and Whitney tell you that they love each other, and your face, and that was it. Then it was just your face. It was like,
I know, and that's when people thought I was jealous. But what you don't understand is, I'm not jealous. I'm actually trying to work out the timeline, because you've got to think, at this point, it's been like a week, and you know, it started at the retreat. So if you started at the retreat, how are you already in love? That's what my confusion was, and I was trying to work out the timeline with it. Like, has it been going on longer, and we haven't known? So that's why I'm just like, what? And I think everyone else is like that too. You know, Adrian says it, Zoe says it, and we're all collectively like, we don't get this, but. Yeah. You know, and I think they both went back on a lot of things that they had initially said at the start of the process. So again, we're all like, But you know, each to their own.
Yeah, I think it's good that you after that first toilet story, you kind of stayed out of all the the drama. It's for the best, isn't it? Yeah. But it's been great watching your journey on the program. Literally from the first episode, we want it to work out for these guys, and it was always nice that even with the few little struggles that you had, that it was, but it felt like they were real struggles about real issues. So it was really great to watch you. So. And thank you for coming on. I've really enjoyed talking to you.
Same. I'm so happy. I'm so happy you asked me, because I'm always like listening and looking at the memes. And then when you messaged, I was like, yes, I've made it.
Thank you.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.